We've journeyed through this Easter season, this resurrection season. Through it all has been woven the thread of God's love, that there's nothing can separate us from that, not even death. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Peter, and we looked at his relationship with Jesus following the resurrection, and how Jesus kept asking him, "Peter, do you love me?" And every time he would say yes, and every time Jesus would just say, "Go and feed my sheep. Go and care for my people. Go and bring my love alive, if you will." In a very real way, it's God's resurrection love that makes a way for all of us in life. It makes a way for this world to be a different place. Jesus was revealing and continues to reveal a kingdom that is radically different of what we know, and in fact, sometimes what we accept in this world. I want to share with you this morning's scripture reading that comes from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. But before I do, I want to point out where this comes in the scripture. Because again, sometimes we really need to look at the whole story to really think about the meaning of what Jesus is saying to us. At the beginning of chapter 13, Jesus gathers His disciples in the upper room. He's about to celebrate the Passover feast with them for the last time. He's been teaching them about His death and His resurrection. He's been talking to them about what it's going to mean in their life. And through it all, they're continuing to talk about the kingdom that they want Him to bring about. The one where He'll be in charge of it all. And the pain and suffering will be gone. And the Romans won't be oppressing them anymore. They're talking about when this kingdom comes, who's going to be the most important? Who's going to get to sit next to Jesus when He's on the throne? And through it all, Jesus just continues to humble Himself. As they gather for the meal, there's nobody to wash the feet of those that gather there. If you remember from that time just before Easter when we talked about this, it was very common for a host to have a servant that was set there at the door. And when people came in to celebrate that special time, their feet would be washed so that they could celebrate with the family that was there, so they could enjoy their time together. Their feet were tired, their feet were sore, they were hurting. They were covered in dust and dirt, scars from the roads that they traveled on. But there was no servant there to wash the feet on this night. And so Jesus, who's the host at the table, who they're waiting to become the King of it all, and to be their Messiah and to set them free from oppression, gets up from the table, takes the apron upon Himself, and begins to wash their feet. Peter doesn't love it. He decides he doesn't want Jesus doing it. Jesus says, "Too bad, I have to do this." So Peter says, "No, then wash all of me." And Jesus says, "Too bad, you're going to do it my way, Peter." He didn't love that. Peter was a lot like me. He was trusting God with all of his heart, but there were many times he wanted it his way. And then as they moved from that to their time of celebrating the Passover, Jesus had that famous discussion where He looks into the eyes of them all and He says, "You know, one of you is going to betray me tonight. One of you is going to give me away and turn me over to those chief priests and Pharisees and the leaders in this land, and I'm going to be put to death." And as they continue to argue over who it won't be, Judas gets up and leaves. And as Judas leaves the room, and before they get to the time in the night when Jesus would look into Peter's eyes and say, "You know what, Peter, you're going to deny me too. Before the cock crows three times in the morning, you're going to tell people that you don't even know who I am, that we've never even met." And Peter says, "No way, it'll never happen." But of course it does. But in between these monumental moments and these painful conversations with Jesus was having with people that He loved, knowing that they were about to betray Him, this is what He says. When He was gone, when Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, then God is going to glorify the Son in Himself and will glorify Him at once. My children, I will only be with you a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. So a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Think of what Jesus is saying to these disciples. Gathered in the midst of the disciples are the favorite three, if you will. The Peter, the James, and the John, who got to go everywhere with Him. Peter, James, and John not only saw the miracles, not only saw the people being healed, not only heard the sermons that He was preaching from the boat and on the mountains, but when He got done, Jesus would invite them back into a back room or around a campfire. And He'd teach him everything He knew, and He'd tell him why He was doing the things that He was doing. And He'd tell him about what was going to happen. He let him in into His deepest and most difficult moments. And a short time later, He would invite the same three out into the garden to pray with Him while He sweat drops of blood, praying that the church would be one and that we would really know how to love one another. But He says to Peter, James, and John right here, "You can't come where I'm going. It's not time for you yet." Jesus was about to give up His life to prepare a place for them in heaven and to prepare a place for each and every one of us in heaven. Through the sacrament of baptism, we accept that promise. We enter into a covenant relationship with God, where God promises to never leave us alone, to where God will walk with us through all the seasons of life, just like He did Peter, James, and John. And God knows that those seasons would be filled with things that would be painful and difficult, betrayal and hurt. But Jesus says to His disciples, through it all, love one another. Take care of each other. You know, love is one of those words that has many meanings in this world. It's said and used in all kinds of different conversations. Think about the ways that you've used love or used the word love or heard the word love used in the last week. I love my truck. I love my spouse. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love to play golf. I love ham. The list goes on. It's one of those words that's lived up and lifted up in all kinds of different songs. Some of them we sing in church and many of them we don't. Songs that talk about young love and loving people tenderly. Songs that talk about loving God and loving people forever. But I don't know about you, but love's one of those things that's a whole lot easier to do when things are going the way that I want them to. When people aren't hurting me, when people haven't hurt me, or when people are listening to me, or people are walking in the same mindset as me. But in Jesus' case here, He's telling the disciples, yeah, you're coming into a season in life where it's going to be hard, where it's going to be difficult. But through it all, you need to love one another and the world won't miss it. They're going to know that you're my disciples because of the way that you treat each other. God's truth is timeless. God's truth makes a way in life. It's just as relevant today as it was when those words came from Jesus' lips. But we need to continue to find ways to let that word seep deep down into our hearts, into the center of our bearing being, and to come alive in the way that we love each other, in the way that we care for each other. Love and trust are two things that go hand in hand. Think about the relationships, the important, significant relationships in your life. Trust is important when it comes to loving somebody, isn't it? Do you ever notice that when you've been hurt, all of a sudden it's harder to love? It's easier to be angry? It's easier to be short? That's why we need God's resurrection love continuing to work in our hearts. You've heard me say time and time again that Jesus heals and that we're all in need of healing. Part of that reason is because of those wounds and those trusts that are broken. Because before we know it, we reflect them on to God. And the God who created us, the God who loves us in a way that will never die, a God who loves us in such a way that He would lay down His own life for us to rise up on resurrection morning, all of a sudden we're not sure that we can even trust God through it all. And so we need to realize that love and trust are an important part of any relationship, including our relationship with God. Today we celebrated the gift of baptism. We talked about it's about God reaching out to us, inviting us into a relationship, and it's here at the baptism, at that moment in our lives where our parents say, yes, I'm going to help my child reach that place where they can make a decision. Or if we're baptized as adults, we say, yes, I want this relationship for myself. But relationship is the key word. God works through the sacrament of baptism in a way that is beyond our understanding. But it's the relationship that is unfolding in that time and goes forward from there that will make a difference not only in our lives, but of the world, of the lives of many others in this world that we meet along the way. Today we also celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. We remember that night when Jesus washed the feet of His disciples, and we remember the sacrament that He offers up out of that time. In a real way, Holy Communion gives us an opportunity every time we come to the table to celebrate our baptism, to remember our relationship with God, to seek the healing that we need that breaks down the trust in our hearts and sometimes becomes a barrier to loving others around us in the way that God calls us to. It's a place where we can lay down those things, that anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, the list goes on and on, that gets in the way, and know that Jesus promises to wash it all away in our baptism. Wash it all away and make us whole. That it's already been done because Jesus has lived, died, and rose again. And so we remember that night. We remember that night when the disciples gathered in that upper room. All down through the ages, the prophets had told of when Christ would come. The shepherds had sang, the angels had sung about it when He was born. The shepherds heard the call and to come and to see for themselves. Wise men traveled afar to see the birth of this baby that was in history. Through His life He grew up, He grew in favor with God and with man. And He humbled Himself in all that He did, in all that He was. He ate with people that nobody else would eat with. He touched people that nobody else would touch. He healed diseases that no doctor could figure a way through. And then He comes to this night, when He gathers those disciples who He'd been teaching how to carry out His work. He gathers them in the upper room to share in that traditional Passover feast. And suddenly the old things pass away and something new comes. In the middle of this meal, Jesus takes the bread. And after He gives thanks for that bread, He breaks it. And He says, "This is My body, which is broken and given for you. This is My life, which is given for you." And when the meal was over, Jesus took the cup. And again, He looked into the eyes of those that He loved so dearly. And He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. And it's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this often, and as often as you do, drink it in remembrance of Me." And so it is in remembrance of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. In the way that that love and abundant life that He comes to bring has come alive down through the ages. It's because of that we gather today to remember and to celebrate our place in God's family. A family that God has opened up to all people, in all races, and all people, in all times, and in all places. In ways that we can't even imagine. Good and gracious God, as You've gathered us here in this place, we pray that You continue to pour out Your Holy Spirit on us, opening our hearts to Your presence and to Your love that is made known in so many ways, so that You can empower us to go forward and to love others in the same way. Wash away those things that stand between our hearts and Yours today. that we might know the freedom that Christ and Christ alone can bring. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice. Let them be for the body, let them be for us, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, broken and poured out for us and for many to bring abundant life, to bring new life, to bring healing and hope, and to empower us to care for others in fresh new ways every day. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on Your church, gathered in all times and in all places, letting Your love come alive in fresh new ways every day. Guide us and teach us and keep us safe. Lead us to that place when we would sit at that table with You and feast once and for all and forever at Your heavenly banquet table. Lord, as always, we ask these things looking forward to what You and You alone can do. Amen. I want to remind you that Christ has opened up the table for all of us to come and to celebrate the gift of Holy Communion. We're all welcome here because of what Christ has done. As you come forward, we'll set up with the bread and the juice over here. I'll tear off a piece of bread and you'll be able to dip it into the cup. But before you do, I invite you to reach into the baptismal font, to touch the waters of baptism that are there, and remember your own baptism, and think about what it means in your life each and every day. Christ's body has been broken. God has raised Him to new life. His love is poured down through the ages into our lives so that we can enjoy it for ourselves and share it with others. So come and celebrate in the gift of God's love to you.